Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Thank you, Reverend Dean Mercado and Reverend Jerry Carr, for asking me and allowing me to teach. You know, I don't remember when it was. If something that stood out to me is how Dr. Worrell mentions, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember verbatim, how he said that he's, you know, along the lines of how thankful he was that he was allowed to share the Word of God. And since then, it hit me, after so many years of being in the Word, that it's just so great that God allows us to share His Word, that He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And as Michael shared, you know, Michael and I, our teachings will probably complement one another, you know, and go hand in hand with some of it. But what we're going to look at is the heart of our fellowships, where the Word is spoken. The heart of this ministry, is the fellowships. You know, and we met in Atlanta, the leaders, a couple months back, and Jerry opened up with that, pretty much, first teaching. And I don't know what you think, you know, the leaders. First of all, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, why am I even there? But, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, because of God's grace, that's why. But it was great to get in the Word, and it was simple doctrine, rightly divided, that he shared with us. And that was one of the first things he shared right there. And I just feel so honored, thankful, grateful that I can share this with you, because that's really where the heart of this ministry is. And it's not about Harbor Life Fellowship. A few months back, Bob at another leaders meeting said, you know, we felt like, and this is speaking of the former ministry, right? We felt like we were part of a movement. It wasn't just about the ministry, quote unquote, although it is, you know, part of it, of course. But you get the sense of what I'm saying? And that's another thing and I felt like all these years of being in the Word, I can never put it together until that day when Bob said that. I was like, that's what I feel like. I want to feel like that every day. And our fellowship should feel like that. You know what I mean? Go to 1 Timothy 2:4. That we're part of a movement. It's the movement of all movements, really. And that's where our heart should be. And like Michael just, oh, man, beautifully shared. You know, it starts with one person. And then it multiplies, and then, so on and so forth, what he shared. 1 Timothy 2:4. And we have to remember that this is God's vision. This is why we do what we do. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's it. If we have that vision, if we have that heart, God is going to make sure people are going to come your way. Because you know what? Joel could reach people that I can't. Bianca could reach people that I can't, and vice versa, you know what I mean? But that's the vision we should have, is God's vision, God's heart, is to move the Word, you know, just have that vision that God has. And one of the things, you know, we started an outreach house, when was it, June 15th officially?
Yeah.
At Bayer. And I looked up what those definitions are, and it means simply, Noah Webster, to go or extend beyond. And the Oxford says, and this was pretty cool that it was in there, the extent or length of reaching out. And the example in the Oxford is the loving outreach of God to the world. You can look it up. I'm not making it up. That's what our lives should be like. We extend ourselves. You want to talk about outreach? Reach out a little. Don't get stuck in your own minds. Don't get stuck in your own homes and your own life. You know, everything does not revolve around you, and we'll get to that too in a few minutes. But many times, all we got to do is like extend a little more out. That's it. This is not a great effort for me to do that, right? But if we don't do that, I mean, how's God going to work in you both to willing to do of his good pleasure? And, you know, we want to, and I do this too. I want to go to Ecuador. I've had the privilege of going years ago, and it's beautiful. you know, the believers and what they've got cooking down there. But I want to go here, I want to go there, and I do, I do. But you know what? Sometimes the biggest needs are right there. Kelsey, I'm just using it as an example. Kelsey's right in front of me. Or vice versa. If Kelsey's looking to go there, 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 and nothing wrong with having that heart and that vision and that goal, but look right in front of you. The biggest need may be right there. And just because you may not lead a fellowship doesn't mean you're not part of a fellowship, or it doesn't mean you're not a leader. You know, we got to have the heart of God to serve. We've got the best thing that's available in this world, which is the Word of God, right? Luke 4. And there's several records that we're going to go to in this next half hour, 45 minutes, that are illustrations. You know, it's like a painting. Like Joe painted this thing, this banner. And I remember Dean showing it to me, and I said, you know, I think people are going to get healed. I did when I saw it. You know, so these illustrations, we'll see these examples of Jesus Christ and some other things. They're just illustrations of how we could be in our fellowships, moving the word right there in our fellowships. So you all go to a fellowship, right? Does anyone not go to a fellowship here? I just want to make sure, because we'll set you up. We'll help you. You know, right in the fellowship you are in, you could help, whether you teach or not. It's not about being here, the pulpit. Our life should be that teaching. And like Michael said, if we've got the word here, it's going to go out to the world. But it starts here. But to have God's vision. Luke 4:18. I love this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, Jesus Christ said this and accomplished this, and now it's us. Now it's us. Do we have that heart? Do we have that same vision that he had? You know, we replace him now here on earth. And who's inside you? We don't do it by our old man. You know, we've got the equipment, we've got the power, and nothing is lacking to do this, to heal the brokenhearted. And I'm sure you all have done it. I've been on the receiving end of that from some of you, to preach deliverance to the captives. And, you know, people who are behind prison walls or doors or bars, whatever, physically, that's one thing. But there are so many people out there, even in your fellowships, who are in prison that need to be, you know, let out. And you could help them. Recovering of sight to the blind. So many people, you know, I need reading glasses now the last few years. But we could help people see better, clearly, with or without glasses, to see spiritually. You know, like Ephesians 1, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that we could each one of us do that for people. And that's really the heart of this whole thing, this whole movement, Acts 1. It's that we help people, right? And if you're not convinced, if you don't put it in your heart daily, if you don't read it just for the pure enjoyment of you getting to know your Father, and in turn, how he works in you, how he heals you. So many times that healing, those deliverances come by just spending time with your Father right there. But those moments are so personal, that spot Jerry talked about. And when it comes to prayer, but also when it comes to reading the word, studying the word. You know, I used to think, because I really am not that smart. I'm not. And I used to think, I don't know if I could study the word. I get all, you know, because I know me, and I wasn't great in school except art and soccer. That's all I was really good at. And blah, 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 blah. And and then I just started, like, looking up stuff little by little. And I was like, oh, wow, I can do this. This wasn't that many years ago either. I'm not embarrassed, but I kind of am, but I'm not. Acts 1:8, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, he was addressing the apostles here, right? But, and this is Jesus Christ. But now, who's that who are bringing it to other parts of the world? It's us. It's us. You know, COVID, of course, we all know it sucked pretty big. But one good thing that did come out, and I saw a lot of people who either never came to fellowship or, you know, hadn't been to fellowship in many years, come back to fellowship during that time. I don't know what God did. And it was a sucky time, and I get it. I get it. Because it affected many of us. But how about that sounding out? You know, we saw people during that time, and I don't know if they went away or whatever, but get them back, that maybe hadn't had the word in many, many years. You know, but that's us now. That's us. You know, that we've spread the word, that we sound out, and it starts in our fellowships. And that's where we learn the rightly divided word, where we teach it, where we show the love of God, not just teach it, but you show it. I'd rather hear a sermon than see one any day. And where power is manifested. How about just simply speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy? How about that? You know, there's an order to it, which God covers in Corinthians, right? Now, in the fellowships, what do? And we kind of bypass that sometimes. But meanwhile, we're hearing from God. How about the manifestations this weekend? If all we did was those, besides the word has been rich, it's been great, not complaining. But that, the manifestations have been just delivering and healing, right? But take it down to the fellowship you go to. Why not, you know, be on the edge of your seat wanting to manifest and wait for God to deliver something that somebody needs to hear that will deliver them, that will set them free so they're not captive anymore. Well, that's us doing it. Romans 1:8. Romans 1:8. So it's this, you know, at least this teaching or sharing, sort of like a more detailed, honed down view of the word over the world, right? Starting in our fellowship, starting with us. And Romans 1:8 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. In order to do this, in order to see this, in order to live this, we got to have it living in us. You got to have it where it's part of every, I don't know, what's the smallest thing? Atom in our body. Atom or? Yeah, what all that stuff. It's got to be all in there, right? Because it is. If it's Christ in you, it is already there. You got the equipment. Now you just need to brain dump it in. Galatians 2. To align your mind with what the word says. The battlefield's always going to be in the mind. It's always, well, can I do this? Well, you know how you should answer that? Does God's word say I can do it? Then guess what? You can. You may have to work a little. You may have to develop a little. But what is it that you haven't done in your life? I don't care how old you are. That you haven't had to either study a little bit or a lot in order to get to a certain point. Well, it's no different with the word. You know, I wish it was like this, where it just falls in. You know? It's not. So you might have to read a little bit. So Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, you know, because we do live this life in the flesh, right? We still got it. I live by the faith or believing of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our life is not our own anymore, folks. Stop it. Just stop trying to make that fit. It does not. And the minute you give that up, you got a whole wonderful, rich, walking with the Father life that you've never even dreamed of, or maybe did, but is going to be far beyond what you expect or think. So just stop. Stop trying to make both work. The old man is dead. You can read in Romans 7. And the analogy there, so great. And then what does Romans 8:1 start with? There is therefore now no condemnation. To them, it's not just there's no condemnation, don't condemn yourself. It's where part of the package we've got, there is no condemnation in that package. Not at all. Don't even go there anymore. Just stop. Settle down. Let God work. Accept what God says. And that's it. We'll be better for it. So like I said, some illustrations. We'll start here. Go to Matthew 5:2. We'll do one. Here we'll look at Jesus Christ, our greatest example. How Jesus Christ, you know, he had, I don't know if you call them fellowships, but he taught the people, didn't he? And there's other records. You can look it up. Just look up taught or, look up, when you look up words, really. We just did it before. I did it with someone here, Liam. And it's cool. We were just looking up a couple words, and I think we found the record. But, you know, we have so many tools now available to us that, you know, it doesn't take much to look at the word and understand it better. And then teach it unto others, rightly divided, you know. And by the way, about the rightly divided word, if something smells like poop, guess what it probably is? I don't know that you need to, like, study for 10 years. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If something seems off, it's probably off. You know, and the way to get to know the counterfeit is getting to know the genuine. You don't have to work too hard. I mean, you do. You know, I know because I have a head. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, well, Jesus Christ taught them. Just right here, I love this. It's simple. Matthew 5:2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and then he goes on. He taught them. That's what we got to do. He was such a great example. He was a master at this. He taught them. But also in his teaching, and we're not going to go through every record. You can look it up. But he was patient with them. How about how he taught them to pray and keep God first in Matthew 6? I mean, these are just simple truths that Jesus Christ mastered and then taught. And then others, and we'll see later in Acts how they went out and did what he taught them. And he helped them to see things spiritually and to watch for the leaven, you know, watch for things that look like God, but not really God, you know, not really the rightly divided word. I mean, these are things in our fellowships we ought to do. But again, I come back to, we should come back to how we get to know the genuine in order to know the counterfeit. And just focus on the genuine. Focus on the love of God. Focus on the simple things about praying about stuff. Focus on how you can just simply believe when you pray and you'll get it. And believe that you'll get it before you get it. Build that habit. Build that habit in our minds and other people's minds. And that he was, you know, he broke bread with them. Even in his resurrected body, he did that. Go to John 8. And I love this record. There's compassion here. And Steve's teaching on compassion, man. Thank you, Steve. That was tremendous. You know what compassion is? Oh, most of you know, right? It's where, I'm giving you the Jersey City definition, where you feel it in your balls, you know. Or you feel it in the innards, you know. You feel for someone. Where you wear the other person's shoes. You know what I mean? Maybe that's a bad analogy, but we used to say that sometimes. Sorry. That's where I got in the word. And actually in New York City the first time. Can I tell you that story?
Yeah.
All right. Dean, you mind? So my first fellowship was in New York City, St. Mark's Place, right near what was that name of the park over there? Thompson Park. There was a riot one weekend. We weren't there, though. But so it was second year of college, and Dean had been patient with me for about a year and a half, speaking the word and blah, blah, blah. But I refused to go to I'm a choir rebel. I still am. I don't like it all the time, but sometimes I like it. But I was a choir rebel because I did not want another man telling me about God. I grew up in that, and they were full of shit. You understand? So it wasn't anything against Dean. He was great. He was patient. He was loving with me. But I didn't want to, I knew I could pray. And since I was six, I loved Jesus. I loved Jesus Christ. But I didn't want some man telling me or screwing me up in my relationship with God, even though I had no idea what to do except to pray. That's all I knew. And the first fellowship came to me, came to our apartment. And I think I was on a couch with someone, right, Dean, or something? So they come in. And, yeah, I was. So they come in, and it was like God's grace, God's love came, you know. And I remember seeing clearly, understanding a little bit of the love of God, understanding the accuracy of the word in just one fellowship that Kat Rivera taught. And I was like, all right, you got my attention. And then there were some other great things that happened a few months later that I said, all right, God, you got my attention now. I'll listen to Dean and others. But, you know, again, it was their life. They came in with the word to my life and affected my life. How about us affecting others now? Huh? It's easy to help one another. You know, it is because we have each other. But how about the person we haven't met yet? But if it's not in here, if it's not in our bowels, you know what I mean? Like that compassion. Get it. Understand it. And the best way to look at it, or best person to look at, is Jesus Christ. John 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So he was teaching the word, right? And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that they should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Were they right? Yeah, it was. It was a law. This they said, but this is where their hearts were, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They didn't give a crap about the woman. They didn't. Was she wrong? Yes. But they set this up to accuse him so they could trap him. You know, even in our lives, what is it in Corinthians? That God will always make a way to escape. Remember that. This is not just Bible words. It's life. It should be our life. That when we go out there, people see our life. And don't be afraid of showing your heart. Wear your heart on your sleeve. So what? You may mess up. I mess up, who knows, 5 times an hour. Not even a day, an hour. But I'd like to think a little of the word is in there to help people. And I'm sure you do too. I'm not the only one. It's not about me. And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Revelation. And we need it to help people. But how about the perfect words at the perfect time? Such great life examples just in a few verses here. Man, we need that. We need God to help us, to help people. I mean, look, if our heart is to really help people, he'll help you help them. You know? And again, those people could be right in your fellowship. And if not, then help somebody else. He had compassion He was teaching the word, by the way. He had compassion on her. We'll see here in just a second. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. I always think there's like one guy who wouldn't let go of the stone. Like just held on to the very last second. But they left. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's it. You know, sometimes people want to take up 1,300 hours of your time. You got to watch that stuff. God takes care of stuff many times in a very simple, short amount of time. Sometimes not all the time. I get it. But pay attention to our Lord right here, what he said. He didn't condemn her. Did he reprove her? Yes, very simply, go and sin no more. But that was it. You want to stay there for 13 hours and when in the first 13 minutes maybe it was already taken care of? I mean, this is, we got to walk. So yeah, as much as we want to help people and fix situations, you still got to walk. Because sometimes the adversary uses that strength as a weakness or against us. And we got to watch that. We've got to walk. Just like Jesus Christ, our greatest example. And this woman got delivered by his walk, by his just helping her, by having compassion, by giving the word, go and sin no more. You know, so many times it's just telling people, hey, your sins are forgiven. You know, we started this outreach house and it's been great. And I was like, I think it was like 2 days before or whatever. I said, you know, I was like, screw this. I'm going to witness to somebody before we even start. I want to be a good example. And so the cable guy came to our house about a week before we started. And I was like, well, he's there. Like Michael said, he's right there. I mean, how easy can it get? So I started talking. And he was a little whatever. And then all of a sudden he started sharing a couple of things that he came. He's been coming to fellowship. I was like, yes, Father, he did that just for me. Because I wanted to be a good example to the house that I'm helping. I was like, you know, that wasn't me. All I did was ask God to help with an example. And not only that, but I got blessed. The kid got blessed. His name is Elvis. So if you meet him, Elvis. But then he started sharing his whole life story, how he got into this bad car accident under a tractor trailer. He showed me. He had photos. And I'm like, I said, Elvis, you know what happened, right? He goes, yeah. I go, okay, God. He goes, I know. I go, you want to come to fellowship? He goes, yeah, when is it? That was it. It's like one of my easy witnesses. It's like the second one. Acts 2. But it's like what Michael shared. I mean, right there. It's people are right there in your face. Speak. But you got to have it in here. You got to have it in there. Acts 2:42. And here, an illustration or an example or record about the first century church. Really, if we just did this, we'd probably get the same results. And do. I'm not saying we don't. But let's do more of it. You know, remember I said earlier, just stop dealing with yourself. Get out there. You know, get out of your own way. And here you can see they did. Yeah. Here, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And what is the first thing that's there, by the way? Uh-huh. The word. And fellowship. And fellowship here is so beautiful. The act of partaking, sharing, that is to say participation, communion. It's awesome. And fellowship and in breaking of bread, well, you know, you got to eat. And in prayers, they pray together. You ever pray with somebody and things just, you have a prayer partner and things just rock and roll? Yeah, well, that's what they did. Yeah. And fear, respect, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Not communism, common. Big difference. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You know, if we just did this or continue to do it, because we have done it, but continue to do it, we may get the same results here. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily. Daily there were people added because of how they lived, because of how they followed what Jesus Christ told them to do or instructed them to do. Added to the church daily such as should be saved. How about that? How about that problem? Well, you might have to quit your job so you can, like in, what is it, Acts 7 or 6 or 7, where they had to leave tables to help the church or help the people, you know? But we could get the same result, same result. But again, it's got to be in us. 1 Corinthians 1:9. If some of this Michael shared, I apologize, but in a way I don't. You know, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's not forget that. Philippians 2:13, right? It's God which worketh in you. Let him work. Let him work. And it's such a fun ride when you go down that ride. It is. And Michael shared this. So we won't go there, but, you know, we have the Ministry of Reconciliation. How Dean shared yesterday how we have that right. Don't think you don't. Even if you're not a big talker, I feel that. I'm not a big talker, I don't think. But we have that. And even if you're not a big talker, let it be your life. Let it be people like Michael shared, seeing you pray, seeing you heal somebody, seeing you just hug somebody, or even just saying hello, or getting a cup of coffee. It's our life. It's got to be. The word's got to get over the world, but it's got to get over you, you know, all over you before it gets into the world, right? Or to the world. 1 Corinthians 1:9. It says, God is faithful, and that he is, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been called. So answer. Go to Colossians 1. Answer the call. Be a great example, you know. And it's not a, it's not about all this stuff. It's not because we have to, you know, check off a list or be a certain way, or you just be you. Be yourself. You know, when I got in the Word, that was one of the most freeing things for me, is that when someone told me I could just be me, I was like, what? I don't have to pretend to be someone. And that hits you to the core. When you could tell now somebody else that they could just be them, that God will work with them with just how they are. What does that do to a person? You know, like years of pressure just goes away when you know that God loves you and you could just be you. You could just be Jess. You could just be Amanda. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. You want more than that? I don't know what you're looking for. It's like Dr. Worrell in the PFAL class. It's Christ in you. Christ. I think we should all have like a little, you know how we have things on our phones to remind them? Maybe we should have that every hour where it just says like three times in a row. Christ in you. Christ, oh, yeah, right. Christ, yeah, thanks. Shut up. You know? We need that. I don't know if any of you have ever gotten sick of being told that, but I haven't. It's a great reminder, because the adversary out there or whatever works hard to get you to forget that or try to. Now, I tell my fellowship all the time, forget a bunch of stuff, that's fine. Just don't forget who's inside you. It's Christ in. And with that power, we could do anything. Anything is possible. If God reveals something, you could do it. If God tells you do this, you could do it. If God says you can prophesy at a fellowship, guess what? You can do it because of that Christ in. You can accomplish things that are far beyond what you ever dreamed by just believing those three words, Christ in you. Walk out with that confidence. You know, and sometimes I tell people, you know, we should have the same confidence if God is showing you something as if he's not. The times he's not, he may just be saying, I don't have a cookie for you. So, you know, we don't go by our own way and make something up. You understand? That's big. You know, this walk is not haphazard. It's very, very clean and beautiful. You know? But in order to be conditioned to receiving from God, we got to be word conditioned. We got to put this in here. Colossians 2:10. Here's another backup that you can do all things. Right here. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. Here it goes. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In your fellowships, guess what? All of you who are believers in that fellowship, all of you right here are complete. Nothing lacking. So if everybody is giving, if everybody's manifesting, if everybody is doing what they do best, that fellowship is going to, boom, thrive. It's going to just go. You understand? And people are going to see that. They're going to, like Jerry shared, why are you so happy with the biker in the bar? They're going to be like, why are you guys so happy? I remember that happened to us in Jersey City many times. We'd go places and, you know, why not? Talk about revival. Talk about movement. This is not just a thing. This is God's history we're part of. So in all this stuff, it starts with you. Word over you, then word over the world. And man, if you think you're not an important part, Bella, Naomi, you got to change that. You're a very important part. No one could do what you two girls do. You understand that? It's big. Yeah. Well, we looked at, Michael already covered the ministry of reconciliation. So we won't go there, but you have it. It's our right. And God is interested in ministering to the individual. That's where it starts. Heard a Dr. World teaching, 551 Twig Fellowship, and he says that. God is interested in ministering to the individual. And he talked about a leaf. You know, after the flood, well, go there, Genesis 8. Genesis 8. Again, another illustration. You know, it's pretty cool how we have this, actually. Thank you, Joe. And you guys who have come before us, I'm not trying to cheapen this, but how Dr. Worrell got the idea of the twigs, right? And the analogy was what? Or the illustration was the tree, correct? The trunk, the limbs, to the branch, to the twig, to the leaf. All of us are like these leaves right here. And a good, beautiful, thriving tree has the nourishment. It has what it needs. And it starts right here in the roots. Psalm 1, if you ever want to read it. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. But in order for this tree to get nourished, it needs the Word of God. So it's the whole thing that's working together. So, yeah, as important as God wants to minister to the individual, we're part of something that's beyond ourselves. It's part of God's movement, God's history. So our life, not only is it not our own, but it is vitally important. Our fellowships, where the word moves, where the word is spoken, where there's doctrine, reproof, and correction, vitally important. Your life, Joel, is vitally important. You know, we're not just a leaf just dangling. We're doing stuff. But it's got to be that word of God that's nourishing that fellowship, you see? And it all works together. You're part of a beautiful body that's, we're trying to do the same thing. We all probably have the same goals. You know, once we strip down all that stuff, we probably want the same thing. You know, I get pissed a lot of times. I was telling Debbie, because I want to fix stuff. I want to fix people, help them. And sometimes the adversary just seems to get in the way, and that happens. But remember, God makes a way to escape. Well, what do you think he'll do to help you to get through to what that person needs? He'll show you. You don't have to be pissed. You know, sometimes you got to wait. And that's okay. God understands. You're dealing with people's hearts. You don't just go in and start, boom, 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 boom. This is what you... Well, if God showed you that, okay. But sometimes it's, I love you. Sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes it's just few words to take care of a lot of years of problems. Got to walk, folks. But we need you to walk. Just because you're not a coordinator doesn't mean you're not needed. You're very vital, everybody. Can't stress it enough. But here, Genesis 8:11, I love this. And then this teaching that I mentioned, Dr. Worrell talks about this. The dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And really, what came right after the flood is this leaf, and that leaf represented life. In this record, your life is life with a big capital L-I-F-E. Put away the past, forget the old man, think about this. You're giving the word of life. What do you think your life is worth to those people or to each other? You know, first thing that appeared after the flood, you know, this dove with a leaf. That leaf represents life. And it's beautiful that the dove has no gallbladder, right? Which means no bitterness. You know, God is not haphazard at all. Ephesians 4. We got to be big on love, forgiveness, compassion, and patience. We got to be big on those things. You know, and I know, when we've helped people and all we tell them is God's forgiven you, what that does. Verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It doesn't say improve it or work on it. It says what? This is what we teach people. This is what we share with people, with one another, even with the leader that may need to hear it of that fellowship from you. So many times Debbie is encouraging me and reproving me, and I love it. I mean, not that I don't love it, but the end result I love, meaning that it helps me. It helps me to help people better. And man, she's... one thing I saw in her when we were dating is how I knew she'd have my back. You know? And I hope I'm the same way with you, Deb. Ephesians 4:31. Oh, yeah, I read that. 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. That's what people need. That's what I need from you. And that's, yeah, many times we need that kick in the butt. There is reproof, there is correction. But here God says you put off all this other crap, you just put it away, and instead here's what you do. You be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You know, when you really, really forgive, You just throw it away from you. You put it away. You don't ever bring it up again. And how about a fellowship that really thrives on that? Instead of speaking crap, forgive one another. And you just put it away. You never bring it up. That fellowship is the fellowship I'd like to go to. Yeah. And expect God to do stuff. And again, this is just me. It's just because of the word I've been taught. When I teach my fellowship, or like the other day, Helen taught. What a great teaching. And man, I just expect that everybody's going to get it, and everybody's going to understand what's being taught, and the deliverance that that's going to bring at that fellowship. And even if it doesn't happen, you stay there. You expect that God's going to do great stuff. And God will do. You know, God knows when you mean business. Jerry's taught us this for years. And I'm just starting to understand this. You know, if God knows you'll take care of people and not talk bad about them and backbite, you know what he's going to do? Bring more people so you can help more people. But if there's a habit that's anti-word, I don't know if God's going to bring people. I don't know. I don't know how God does. I'm not saying he does or doesn't, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying I don't know. But it makes sense if you've got a thriving, loving, tender fellowship. Guess who's going to come? More people who need that. So that's why we many times have to not only teach, but live the renewed mind. We just got to stop, put it off, you know, the old ways. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And again, I know it's been said before, we teach the same. The other thing is, we won't go there because we're running out of time, but Philippians 3, 13 and 14, along the lines of renewed mind, do you know we could share with people to forget the past? If Paul could do it, who sanctioned, you know, murders of Christians, and he could say this by revelation, we could share that. And you know, it is available to forget the past to the end where it'll be difficult to remember it. How about living that and then teaching it? You know, the greatest teacher are those who live their creed, really. Isaiah 58. A couple more things here. Isaiah 58. Hey, Josh, could you stand and read verse 3 to 12?
Isaiah 58, verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast as I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up, raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
That's how we ought to be, have that heart to help people. And in verse 6, you know, it talks about the oppressed. And I want to quote something from Dr. World teaching on healing. Verse 6, the word oppressed means the broken ones. The broken ones go free. Freedom, be released, that you break every yoke. That's the fast. It's not in abstaining from food, or it's not going and burning special candles or afflicting yourselves with a whip. The fast is to loose the bands of the wicked, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. You break what?
Every yoke.
Whatever is holding you in, encasing you, that yoke which is binding you, that's the fast, to break it. It's not the fasting of food. It's a fasting of breaking the yoke. And all sickness is a yoke, all fear, all anxiety, all frustrations. These are all yokes. And the ministry of the word is to break the yokes so that people again are set free. And I love how in verse 12, how we could be the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. That's the heart we got to have in our fellowships, I think, right? Acts 26 to close. And Jerry shared this last night. I want to just close here real quick. 26:18. So just help people. And remember, your life, you're not just a dangling leaf on the tree, but your life is vital. But it's got to be the word. It's got to be the love of God. We got to have, be big on forgiveness, and we got to be big on compassion and patience with people and with ourselves. So Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So thank you. Thanks for allowing me. Love you.